So, how's everything going with you guys?
It's going all right, I guess. I mean, we're leaving in a couple of weeks to go to Chile in Florida, so, you know, that's pretty cool.
I was looking on your webpage a little while ago, and did you guys play a show in Tijuana?
Yeah, we did. We went on tour with Big Eyes, who are from Seattle. I don't know if you know them, but we went on tour with them down to San Diego and played Awesome Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the Mean Jeans went with Pangea down to Tijuana, and we played there with a couple of local Tijuana bands. It was awesome.
What was that like?
I guess it's not as crazy as you could imagine. It was kind of crazy, but, you know. But the first Tijuana band that opened up the show at, like, 10 or whatever was awesome, you know, like, totally awesome, and, like, everyone was there to see them. And people were going nuts, you know. They were, like, really, crowd-pleasing, you know. So it was kind of funny that we had to play after them. But it was that insane, you know. They gave us free beer. It was in this, like, plaza full of, like, five or six bars, you know. And they kept on giving us buckets of Mexican beer. And then we did that and got drunk and then crashed at one of Pangea's friend's houses. So.
That's cool. So did you...
You know, no crazy donkey shows or anything like that.
Nothing like that?
No.
So you guys toured earlier over the summer, like you were on the East Coast and in the Midwest. How did all that go? And did you have any really good shows? And did you have any really horrible shows?
For me personally, the most horrible show was playing the Larry Livermore string of shows, like with all those bands on the, you know, we were on that compilation, the thing that ate Larry Livermore.
Yeah, well, I thought that would be cool.
No, it was. Totally. Larry Livermore, we met him and hung out with him for like 3 or 4 days straight, and he was awesome. We played at, Baltimore Fest. I'm blanking now.
Insubordination.
Insubordination Fest. Everything was cool, but when we played in Philadelphia, sort of on that string of Livermore shows, you know, with other bands from that comp.
Yeah.
We rolled up to the venue in Philadelphia probably around 6 p.m., and when we got out of the car, they said, you guys are on right now. And so we brought our stuff in, and I said, okay, cool, I'm ready. Can I just get a beer? And there's no drinking allowed, all ages show. So that was kind of, you know, a surprise for me. It's actually harder for me to play the songs completely. I've never, ever played a show without drinking two or three beers first.
Yeah.
And I don't think Christian had either, you know, so...
Yeah.
We sort of got up on stage and it was like, you know, still light outside, you know, all ages, very quiet, no house music, nobody drinking, and it was really awkward.
Were they into it or not?
I think so. As much as I would be if I was seeing a band that, you know, I like, and I was seeing them at 6 p.m. on a Sunday or Monday or whatever it was, you know, people were standing there and after the song, woo, you know. And then that was it. And then, you know, normally at a bar, there's just, like, noise, you know, noise going on and stuff, and people are getting drunk or whatever. So that was a little bit weird to try and, you know, you talk into them. It was like, you know, chirping crickets and tumbleweed type thing. But whatever, you know, that's what I mean. So that probably would be the worst, only in that, you know, the point of the Mean Jeans to me, and you know, I think the other guys agree to a certain extent, you know, is that it's not really a showcase of our artistic abilities as a live band, how together we are musically and all that stuff. It's more like hoping that everyone in the room is having a good time, and so do we, and then there's sort of like a connection there, and you sort of like party for half an hour, and then it's over. You don't get up on stage at 6 p.m. for a bunch of people that aren't drinking, and, you know, everyone be quiet and, like, really pay attention to what we do.
Well, my brother and I, it was about exactly a year ago, my brother and I went and saw you guys play at that Pylam place in Philly.
Yeah, that's where I met you, right?
Yeah. I got a cab over there, and I walked up, and I was like, this can't be the right place. But that was a pretty fun night, though.
Yeah, it was fun, yeah. Did you get a cab up to the front of the house?
Yeah, and that's why I was like...
Because remember, like, everything goes on in the back. Yeah, I mean, it's what, I guess that's a fraternity house or something, right?
Or it used to be or something.
Used to be, yeah. I mean, totally weird. You know, I think when I met you there, that was the second time we could play there, I think.
Oh, you had played there before?
I played there once before. It's cool. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for all different kinds of shows. You know, sometimes it's cool to play on, like, a stage, kind of, where you can actually hear everything, and it's, like, a good sound system. Occasionally, that's fun, but most of the time, I think we enjoy, as a band, to play, like, a more house show type thing, you know?
Right, right.
It's kind of loud and obnoxious, and you don't have to worry about fucking anything up, or, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Pylam was cool. I would, you know, definitely play there again, you know?
Yeah. So you guys were, when we were talking that night, you were saying you guys were originally from D.C. Why did you end up heading out to Portland?
I mean, there's no good reason, really, other than Christian, you know, the main singer, you know, Billy Jeans, you know,
yeah.
And then I'm Andrew, Gene Rod or whatever, you know, put those names on the first evidence just to be dumb, you know, to use the word jeans,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's just kind of funny when you talk to people or other stuff, you know, I will refer to him as Christian, say, who's that, you know, so either way, that me and him started the band, probably in 2006 or something, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Arlington. That's where we were from. I was living at my parents' house, and they didn't live there. And he was living in his parents' basement, and we were both delivering pizza at a pizza place in Arlington. And he was thinking about moving to Portland. He'd started, like, recording some Mean Gene songs, you know,
mm-hmm.
Not really playing live or being a band, really, just sort of recording some shit in my basement. And then my parents were going to move back into that house. So I had the choice of either living with my parents or renting it out. Or they were going to rent it out. So I could either pay to live there or find some other shitty place to live in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
He wanted to move to Portland. So when it came time that I was going to have to leave anyways, we just drove cross country in my van. You know, we were living at our parents' house and delivering pizza. It wasn't like we were, you know, dropping anything really important.
Right.
So
once you got out there, then everything kind of just started rolling.
I guess it was easy. I mean, you know, these were back in the days of MySpace, you know, if you remember that.
Yeah.
We came out here, we did one show in Baltimore when we were, like, whatever, a band, you know, two-piece in D.C. We took one show at a basement show in Baltimore with nobody, which is kind of funny. He was on tour by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we played, and then nobody played, and there was, like, 15 people there, something like that, you know, barbecue and beer and, like, whatever. And then, yeah, we moved out and planned on playing some shows on the way out. That didn't happen. When we came out here, we found a house and lived together and just, like, I think we MySpaced, you know, different clubs in Portland saying, hey, we're this band. Here's a couple of our songs. If you have any shows coming up that we can play, that would be cool. You know, and I think maybe the Tonic Lounge here, maybe, or Slab Town, one of those two, wrote us back and said, hey, you know, some so-and-so is playing in a couple weeks if you want to open up. And, you know, it was pretty easy, actually. We never had to try really hard to get on shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you play with a bunch of different bands, and if one of the other bands likes you, you know. And then we played the Summer Bummer, which is a, like, pretty big festival here. Not big, like, you know, South By or anything like that, but, you know, it's a for garage whatever music. It's been going on for, I think, yeah, 5 or 6 years now, Summer Bummer. So we played that, you know, and became friends with the guy who runs that, the guy and girl that run that. And so then, you know, you just basically just make friends with other bands, and then you play a whole bunch more shows.
Yeah. So are you going to, what do you do when you're not, like, recording or touring?
Like, as a band?
No, no, like, what do you have another job, or do you just...
Oh, yeah, we all have other jobs. Well, me, barely. Up until this last three went on, I drove a cab here in Portland.
Oh, how's that?
It's all right, I guess. I mean, it's pretty weird, actually, Portland. You know, it's a totally different experience, I would imagine, from anywhere else. You know, it's not like taxi driver. You know, I wouldn't want to do that in New York City or Los Angeles or even, you know, Seattle or Houston or whatever. Like, Portland is a funny place. There's, you know, enough people here, enough going on that driving a cab is like you can stay busy enough.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge, you know, terrifying, you know, stressful city, really. It's pretty small and straightforward. So it's strange. I work for this company, Radio Cab, and it's funny. Like, a lot of the people that were cab drivers for that company were, you know, 20-something, 30-something, you know, dudes, you know, who, like me, you know. It's funny. Most other places you go, it's, you know, people from all over the world, you know, but not, you know, 20-something-year-old white dudes, you know.
Right, right.
So it's okay, because I would work from 6 p.m. until 6 in the morning, and sometimes you make okay money, sometimes it's really shitty, and then you go to bed at 7 in the morning, wake up at 3 in the afternoon, eat something, and then go back to work. It's pretty shitty schedule-wise.
Yeah. I think...
And then...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What's that?
No, no, go ahead.
And then Richard, the bass player, works at a hot dog bar, and then Christian does this, like, internet music thing.
Okay. I was going to ask if, when I talked to you, when my brother and I hung out with you in Philly, you were saying something that you were going to start a Riverdale's cover band, or you already had a Riverdale's cover band. Like, first of all, did that ever happen? And secondly, were you like a, cause we were like huge Lookout fans and still am, but like, especially back then.
Right. Where did you grow up?
Kansas City.
Kansas City? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Back when the actual Lookout stuff was happening, I wasn't, you know, huge into it. It was funny. For me, I grew up all over the place, and right at peak of, you know, when you start getting into music, I lived overseas in Vienna, Austria. So,
oh, okay.
Like, I would get, like, Punk Planet and Maximum Rock and Roll, and there'd be Lookout ads and stuff. And of course, I had, like, Green Day, Kerplunk, you know, you can count that, you know.
Yeah.
And a neighbor of mine had Screeching Weasel, Boogada Boogada, you know, and stuff like that. But I wasn't, you know, I didn't get their records or stuff or anything. And it was, I listened to the Riverdales for the first time, sort of through the whole, like, No Effects, Fat Records, Honest Don, you know, Riverdale's
right.
Second album. You know, was on Honest Don's, and that's where I heard that. And at that point in my life, like, it just needed to be on one of those labels. And then, you know, I was like, what, 13 or something like that. And if it was, like, on Fat Records or, yeah, any of these things in that magazine, then you know it's, like, punk rock, and then it's cool. So when I got there, I remember the Riverdale's being kind of confusing because I didn't really listen to the Ramones at the time. And it's funny, too, because the first Ramones that I listened to was their last album. You know,
oh, really?
Adios Amigos. Yeah, that was my first experience with the Ramones. So it's just really funny, you know, later on in life, I started liking the Riverdales again when I found the old CD. You know, like,
yeah.
So I listened to it when I was 13, 14, forgot about them, and then when I was, like, 18, 19, I was like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, this is awesome. And by that time, you listen to the Ramones, and it's like, oh, now I get it, you know. At the time when I listened to the Riverdales, I didn't know they were just a Ramones ripoff band.
Right.
Because the Ramones that I knew was Adios Amigos, a little bit different. You know, it's like, you know, the second Riverdales album is like the first three Ramones albums style.
Yeah. So do you guys play, have you done that then with the cover band?
We haven't done it in a while, but, you know, Halloween's coming up, and we would if he, you know, like, look how long it took to get this phone call in order, you know. Like, all of us are the same age. Like, oh, man, we should do that. And, like, you know, if no one is pushing another one, we don't do it. But we haven't played the Riverdale thing in probably over 2 years.
Oh, okay.
But it's me and Christian, and I play bass in the Riverdale's band, and another buddy of ours, Jeff Taylor, he's a drummer for Organized Sports, which is like a Portland hardcore band. Awesome drummer. He plays drums, and we all love the Riverdales, you know. Yeah, basically the start of the Mean Jeans is very much having to do with the Riverdales, because I saw that Christian had Storm the Streets on LP, and I was like, holy shit, you know, I didn't even know anyone else had ever heard of that band, you know?
Yeah.
So at the time, we were recording this weird rap stuff, and then when we were done with that, it was like, oh, why don't you come over and play some, you know, stuff that is more up our alley. You know, the rap thing was a joke. Not that Mean Jeans wasn't a joke at the beginning either, but, you know,
Has it kind of taken on, like, the whole Mean Jeans thing now, has it kind of taken on a life of its own? Because after your newer album came out in, like, June or May or June or whenever that was, like, that, like, your name's kind of all over the place now.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell what level of, obviously, however many fans on the internet or whatever, we have like 5,000 or something, that's like nothing, you know. But there are people that are into the Mean Jeans and like get tattoos and ask us to play. And that's a cool spot to be in where, you know, if you want to do a tour or something like that, instead of begging a bunch of people to, put you on shows or try and help you, there's actually people asking us to do things. And so that's really nice.
You guys got to try and make it to, I know it's out of the way, but you guys should try and make it to Kansas City sometime.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just hard. You know, we got an email recently from Omaha and saying, hey, do you want to open up for the Misfits?
Oh, really?
We said, yeah. I was like, all right, yeah, that'd be awesome. Like, what's the deal? And I was like, well, you know, what, you know, how do you guys want to do this? What, how much money do you want or something? I was like, well, we need how much money, like, how are we going to get that? You know, we're here in Portland.
Right.
We're not going to be on tour anywhere near there at the time of the show. You know, we did this West Coast tour with Big Eyes. We've done East Coast tours and then come out a little bit, but, you know, we haven't gone that far out. You know, Cleveland, you know, we've never done Denver or Salt Lake City or Reno or, you know, well, I guess we did play in Reno, this last one, and we played in Boise once a couple of years ago, but you know, we've never really gone to the middle of the country,
so it's hard. Well, so for that Omaha show, did they just expect you to like pay your own way out?
Well, yeah, it was a really funny thing, you know, and I don't want to, you know, be talking shit or anything, but the guy, you know, is a promoter, and he said, hey, we want you to open up for the Misfits, what would it take? And it said, well, what can you offer so that we can see whether it'd be worth our while? You know, if we had to drive whatever it is, you know, 30 hours from Portland to Omaha, you know, and then you get paid $500, obviously that's not worth it. Even though playing before the Misfits would be fun, and I think we would all do it for free. You know, we don't want to spend $1,000 of our own money on gas getting there, you know.
Right.
And then play the show and then have that drive back, you know, so it was like, what do you mean? You know, it's not totally out of the question that a promoter doing a Misfit show could afford to fly us out. You know what, maybe you could get us all out there for like $800 or something, yeah.
Right. Well, that's
I don't know
thinking,
what plane tickets are like, but,
yeah.
You know, like I would do that show in exchange for just the transportation there and then not get paid for the show. You know, I would do that for almost anything, you know. We're not trying to make money and be like, hey, how much can we get? We're just trying not to spend our own money, you know, because I don't have any personally.
Right. So what are you guys, like, what are the immediate future plans right now?
We just recorded two songs for a split with this band, Big Eyes, I was talking about earlier. That's going to come out on Dirt Nap. We have a split with Underground Railroad coming out. It's been in the works for a long time now on It's Alive Records. I don't know if you heard of them, but
now where are they? Are they a Portland label or?
No, It's Alive is California, like LA area. I think that's either San Diego or LA. You know, Southern California.
Yeah.
But so that's Underground Railroad. You know, Todd from FYP and all that stuff.
Okay.
Underground Railroad is his new band. Toys That Kill, it's that same guy, Todd C., that owns Recess Records.
Okay, okay.
They put out the new Riverdale's record, or, you know, the latest one, Tarantula.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
So, yeah, well, you know, I like it. A lot of people are like, oh, God. But, you know, I happen to love it, but I don't know. It's just I have a soft spot for the Riverdale's, you know, and Dan, the way Dan Rabbit sings, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Have you heard his new album, Dan Vapid and the Cheats?
No. See, that's the thing. I haven't really given any of his other stuff a shot.
It's pretty cool.
I've heard the Methadones, you know, and it was okay, but it was a little bit too much, like, modern pop punk sounding to me. You know, sort of slick and glossy.
Right.
And, you know, like, really, sort of almost like auto-tune territory, but you know, for some reason in the Riverdale's, I think he has like the best voice for what he does. You know, well, but I like Tarantula. I mean, Christian didn't like it. Most people I talked to didn't like it, but I did.
Well, yeah, I'm into it too. But this new Dan Vapid and the Cheats thing is actually pretty good. Like, it sounds like the stuff that he does that you like. You know,
really? Oh, it's too bad because he was playing at Awesome Fest also. But it might have been on the night that we went down to Tijuana. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I missed the Markman. We got to play with Markman on a boat in Sweden a couple years ago. So I have seen the Markman, but you know, every show of the Markman could be their last. So I kind of wanted to see him this, you know, when we were down in San Diego, but we had to go to Tijuana.
Yeah. So your other side, your side project, Hound of Love, is there anything going on with that?
What's going on right now, actually, so my buddy Eric is in this band up here in Portland called White Fang, and they're all our buddies, and they have a tape label here called Gnar Tapes, G-N-A-R, you know, like gnarly?
Yeah.
Gnar Tapes and shit, you know, so we're buds. They put out that Mean Jeans tape that we put out, like, several years ago that was, like, our first 7-inch, plus a bunch of unreleased demo crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a picture of Keanu Reeves with the Keystone Light, you know. It's this thing. I think he made maybe 70 or 100 of them, you know, and we sold them all, and that was that. But anyway, so we're buds with him, and I just was talking to him once and said, you know, I got all this Hound of Love stuff, which is all my solo crap that I've been recording for the past, like, I don't know, 6 years, maybe more. And yeah, he was like, we'll put it out. And it's like, no big deal. You know, he'll put out his friend's bands and make like 100 tapes and that's it. You know, it costs him like $20.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. And I got all the songs together. And then I was down at Burger Records in Fullerton. And I showed them the cover of the tape. And they said, oh, dude, why don't you tell us? We would have put it out, you know. And so now it's going to be coming out on Burger and Gnar Tapes, like split release.
Okay, cool.
So that's cool, because, you know, Burger has, like, a pretty wide reach, you know, and loyal fan base. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, like, tape maniacs. They put out a whole bunch of shit, but they're really into it. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are you know, constantly buying their stuff, you know. I'm not totally sure that anyone will actually like the music. I just kind of wanted to have the tape and do something with all the songs that I've been recording for this long, you know.
Right. Go ahead.
I'm glad it's a tape, not a record. You know, a record, I would feel bad if, like, 5 people bought it and then they lost money putting it out, you know. I don't know. I like tapes. It's sort of like collecting baseball cards, you know, but being older, yeah.
Right.
I'll still buy tapes of stuff that I have on my iPod and the record and the CD. You know, I'll still buy the tape if I see it because they're like $1, you know. I think these guys sell new tapes for, like, $5 or $6, you know.
Right. So the I brought this up a little bit earlier, but the reaction to the new album, like, what do you guys hear from people or, like, critics and stuff? Or do you even care?
I don't think we really care. I think I've said before that almost when it comes to that, it's almost funner to or more fun, sorry, to, like, read a bad review. You know, because since the inception of the band, like, none of us have put our heart and soul, you know, like, really put your heart on your sleeve and all this. It's like, you know, party music, having a good time trying to do things as goofy as possible. On the cover of the album, it's like Jägermeister spaceship crashing into the, you know, cheese galaxy. You know, all this stuff is just kind of silly. So if I were to open up a Rolling Stone one day and say, who the fuck are these clowns and what do they think they're doing? It's sort of funny in its own way, as opposed to reading something and say, hey, these guys are okay, this new album is pretty all right, and I think they listen to a lot of the Ramones, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, after the first album, it was like, whoa, you know, Ramones this, Ramones that, Ramones this, PBR that, pizza, pogo, you know.
Cocaine.
Yeah, that was great, yeah. The cocaine thing, like, yeah, one of the first interviews we did with the Mercury, which is the city paper here.
Mm-hmm.
Kept on mentioning cocaine, and I was like, what kind of journalist is it? Like, who, you know, even if that were the case, you know, I don't think you're supposed to, like, talk about that, you know.
Right.
Like, weed, smoking weed is funny. Like, doing cocaine is sort of, like, sad and illegal. You know, so, whatever. And when we did this new album, most of the stuff I read has been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things say, you know, the whole Ramones thing has been done and done and done and done, but these guys add something a little bit different to it that makes it all right, you know, and that's cool.
Right.
So it is kind of funny, and then I guess a lot of people ask, like, for interviews and stuff, you know, that it's a sort of a change in direction. They say the album is, like, glossier and more produced or whatever, and it wasn't even that much. It was the same studio that we recorded at.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing. I think we just tried different stuff, you know, like anything. The first album was all the songs that me and Christian had ever written up until the point that we had a chance to do an album. You know, so then you just record all the songs you have and put the ones on there, and they just happen to be, like, fast, short, and stupid. And then, you know, it was 3 years passed since then. And when we got ready to do the next album, it was just like, you know, you start listening to different stuff and you get older. And, you know, I tried to sit down and try to write, like, a song, like, that was just really fast and dumb and is over in a minute and a half, and it's actually not that easy. To do it on purpose, you know. That
right.
just happened to be the way we were doing things for the first album. For the second one, we, you know, we listened to more like ELO and Rick Springfield and stuff. Like, oh, that'd be cool to have like something funky right there, you know.
Right.
And don't play those fast.
Now, you guys talk about chain restaurants a lot, but...
Yeah, mostly Applebee's.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, is it legit or are you guys just trying to be funny?
I think on the first album, the Sizzler and Rhymes with Twizzler thing is just trying to be funny. You know, I don't know if I've ever been to a Sizzler. I don't know if Christian's ever been to a Sizzler. That was his brainchild, you know. And then I guess Christian's house is like a block or two away from Applebee's. And I think we started going there sort of as a joke. Just because, you know, Applebee's, it's like the same inside. You could, once you're inside there, you could be anywhere in USA, you know?
Yeah.
And living in Portland, where most people want to go to, like, the cool bar, where, like, the badass bartender with all the tattoos, you know, like, you want to go to the cool spot, and that's where people meet up. You know, we used to hang out at Applebee's, and after a while, we'd keep on going. Well, first of all, they had $3 Long Island iced teas and $4 Jaeger bombs.
Yeah.
And then if you text people or call someone and say, hey, you know, like, or someone call you and say, hey, what are you doing? And say, well, we're at Applebee's. You should come meet us. And they would say, yeah, right. And they'd be like, no, seriously, we're at Applebee's. And they'd be like, well, give me a call later if you do something else.
Yeah.
You know? So I think for me, it actually became serious after a while by accident. But it reminds me of a life that I don't have to be inside of a place like Applebee's. There's just, like, kind of people that are in there I won't see anywhere else. You know, I'm used to playing at bars here in Portland and hanging out with people at, like, the cool bar, you know, whatever, like, younger people smoking and acting like assholes, you know, not families ordering insane meals, you know, where you can also go to the bar and get Jaeger bombs, you know.
That is a pretty good deal, $3 Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, yeah, so I think it was a joke in the beginning. Now, like, we haven't been there in a while, but, you know, it's funny, like, having a sort of a, I guess you would call it, you know, it sounds kind of asshole-y, but, you know, an ironic visit to Applebee's ended up being kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Like to just do something different for fun, you know.
Right. Well, I think that's all I got for you. Unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, just like ranting over the phone.
Well, I hope you guys make it out here at some point.
Kansas City, yeah, man. We've never really tried a cross-country tour. You know, the closest we got was this past summer when we went out, you know.
Well, because you guys went to Chicago, right?
Yes, Chicago and Cleveland, all that stuff. And then up into Canada, you know, through Detroit. We played in Detroit and then crossed over into Windsor there and then played all those Canadian shows and then back over to the East Coast. So that was as far out as we've ever been.
Yeah.
And then one time we played in Boise, you know, in Reno. That's hardly making it into the middle anywhere, you know.
Right. Well, someday maybe. So,
yeah, hopefully.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again, and I guess I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thanks for that.